first three, you can go to Stitcher and you can find them there. You can go to our website or you can get the CDs back there, just whatever is easier for you. But I wanted to get, I know y'all thought I was in a hurry, but I wanted to get to singing this morning. I wanted to praise him. I sat back there in the back with my wife and family, and I watched you guys worship this morning, that first set. I watched Anthony. I watched you. And we needed to worship him in song. And I'm glad we did. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." He didn't say, "Teach me to walk on water." Remember that? He didn't say, "Teach me to do miracles." The disciples, of all the time they spent with him, they said, "Teach us to pray." Because they knew that's where the power came from, to do all this other stuff. So we jumped into four foundational truths about prayer. And we only talked about two last week. We said God loves for you to talk to him. And the thing that I got out of that, and I was talking to my small group this week about the sermon, is this, that God is interested in what I'm interested in. So prayer is just a conversation. Talk to him about what you're interested in. Now, what, just simply what you're interested in. He wants to know that. And God, the second thing we said is God listens to prayer that are sincere and simple. You ain't got to use fancy language. And you certainly don't have to be repetitious. I said it jokingly last week, but sometimes I hear people pray, they'll pray about the same thing, and they'll say it nine different ways. And yes, when I hear them, I'm thinking land a plane, halls. You don't have to fill in just to make your prayers longer. You just have to be sincere. You just have to be simple. It's okay. You don't have to, like I said, you don't have to. I used to try to pray with all the fancy language. And I'm not making fun of you when, you know, if you do that, the these and the thous and the thys and stuff. But, you know, I got to think, you know, God knows that I grew up in Rockmart, that I didn't grow up in England, and I'm certainly not Shakespeare. And so I just had to, you know, stick with being a Rock Martian. And it seemed like my prayer life improved when it got simple and sincere. All right, the third thing, let's get to it. Third truth about prayer, foundational about prayer, is this. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God is a good God. As the song goes, he's a good, good Father. He is a gracious Father. But number three, God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. He does that because he gets to show what he's really like. Right. You know, everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. No one is more generous than God. And I think God loves it when you and I ask for something in prayer. Because all throughout the Bible, it's ask, ask, ask me, ask me, ask me. And so God gets to show how gracious he is, regardless of the answer. You don't get an answer yes to every a prayer. But even when the answer is no or not yet, God is still a good, good Father. He's still a good, good Father. I mean, do you know any parents in the entire world that gives their child everything they ask for? Of course not. That would absolutely just ruin that child. Just ruin it. And there's a lot of reasons why parents don't give their children everything they ask for. And there's a lot of reasons why God doesn't say yes to everything that you and I ask for. You may not understand it, but you're not God. I put down a few reasons here. Sometimes God says no for our protection. Sometimes God says no for our direction. Sometimes God says no for our correction. Sometimes God says no for our perfection. Because remember, he's interested in our character. Sometimes God says no for our inspection. which means he looks inside of us and helps us see what we couldn't see before. A child that got everything they asked for would be, my mother used to say, that boy spoiled rotten. Spoiled rotten. God is much more interested in our character than our comfort. And he loves us too much to say yes to everything. I want to tell you something. God ain't no vending machine. He ain't no vending machine. And so he's not going to say yes to everything. And he's certainly not going to answer every time the way we want it. But he is going to answer. I need to tell some of you this. Just from talking to you this. No is an answer. No is an answer. I believe God answers in four ways. You want to write these down? I believe, one, he answers yes. I believe, one, he answers no. I believe, or two, number three, I believe an answer is not yet. And then the fourth, I think sometimes he answers, you gotta be kidding me. You know, some of the things that we ask for in prayer. Yes, no, not yet. You gotta be kidding me. A child doesn't know the difference. A baby doesn't know the difference between no and not yet. Write this down, because this might be something your small groups could discuss this week. Maturity is when you know God's delays are not always God's denials. That's maturity. It's when you know his delays are not always his denials. Lots of times God's saying, you know, I got every intention of giving this to you, just not yet. Just not yet. Because what I found out in my seasoned years is that there's sometimes I haven't been ready for. I just hadn't been ready for. So before he can give us a solution, we got to have the growth, or we got to have the character. Because here's what I found out. Normally, he's going to give us something bigger than we ever could imagine. Amen. And in that small, immature stage, we couldn't have handled it. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. Sometimes God's answer is a bigger perspective. And I think sometimes God looks at us and says, you know, you don't have any idea what you're asking for. You don't have any idea. And it's really not what you want, because he has a bigger perspective. God knows what you and I want more than we know what we want. We think it's going to make us happy, but it won't. It just won't. So he really wants to give you and I a bigger perspective. He says, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you things that you could never figure out on your own. Looking back on it, some of the prayers, if you guys had gotten your answer, you would agree with me, it had been a disaster in your life. Really? Think about it. You prayed and asked those, I want to marry this guy. I want to marry this guy, you know, when you were 16. Boy, how would that have worked out? How would that have? I mean, could you imagine all the girls that prayed and asked to marry me when they were 16? Wouldn't have worked out. It'd have been a disaster in their life. Here's what I want to tell you. You can hang your hat on. God will only give you something that is good. Right. He will only give you something that's good. Matthew 7:11 says, if you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? God is a perfect father. He only gives good things. things that you haven't even imagined. James 4:2 says, I love this. We're going to talk about this several times in the next couple of months. You do not have because you do not ask God. You do not ask God. And when you don't pray, this is why prayer is really important. When you don't pray, there's a lot of things that you miss out on in this life. And God ain't going to just give them to you. He wants to learn. He wants you to learn how to talk to Him. Amen? Won't you learn how to talk to Him? Number four, we're on the backstretch. God longs to be close to me. Write that down. God longs to be close to me. Because if you get this, that God longs to be close to you, it will radically change your life. He desires to be close. He wants it deeply. He wants you, He wants me to be close to Him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was stationed in Korea for a year. And this was in 1981 to 82. There wasn't no cell phones. There wasn't no Facebook. Wasn't anything like that. So I didn't get to talk to my parents for a really long time. I left, I was 5'8", 160 something pounds, and came back, I was 6'2", 208. Had a big growth spurt. My mother didn't recognize me. When she finally saw me, I couldn't shut up. Hadn't been able to talk to her. She just kept talking to me. You see, when you're away from somebody a long time, you can't wait to talk to them. You can't wait to hear their voice. Just hear their voice. God loves you. And with God, when you go to pray, here's what you don't get that sometimes we send our people now. Sorry, I can't talk right now. Or sorry, I'm in a meeting. God said, no. There's old David. I hadn't heard from him in a while. I've been longing to hear from him. I've been waiting on him to call. He's longing for you to be close to Him. Isaiah 30:18. Listen here. This ought to be your memory verse this week. The Lord waits for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. The Lord waits for you. Every day that you and I go without prayer, without reading His Word, or without spending a little time for Him, God is waiting on us to do so. He's waiting on us. See, you and I, we were made for this. We were made to know God. We were made to have a relationship with Him. We were made to have fellowship with Him. And He's waiting to show you His love and compassion. It's the whole reason you exist. It's the whole reason. Now, some of you parents know the unique pain of a child that can't talk to you. And you love that child deeply. It may be a physical reason. It may be an emotional reason that they can't talk to you. And it breaks your heart. Because you love that child so much. But you can't have a conversation with them. And it hurts. Now there's others. You're a parent. And your child could talk to you. But they won't. They don't. They just completely shut you out of their lives. And the pain in your heart is tremendous. Because you long to have a conversation with them. You long to just sit and listen to them. You long and wait for the phone calls. And you hurt because they can talk, but they won't. They don't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That pain, that hurt? Guys, that's the way God feels about us when we can and won't. and don't talk to him. God longs for us to check in with him from time to time. I love you. I love you. Just whatever's on your heart. Whatever's on your heart. It's like the parent saying, why won't you talk to me? God's saying to you now, why won't you talk to me? Please spend time with me. I'm waiting on you because I love you. I want a relationship with you. Y'all know what I'm talking about, parents. You yearn for that kid to talk to you. But they turn and walk away. When we won't talk to God, when we won't spend time with him, we're turning and walking away. Turning and walking away. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to your Father in heaven. God made us to love him. You were put on this earth to be loved by God and to love God. That's why we exist. We were formed for his family. Enoch, Noah, Job, Hezekiah, they said they had a close relationship to God. Guys, if you don't remember anything else this morning, God wants to be close to you, and he longs for you to be close to him. Hosea 6:6, I love this. He said, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. This is what's important. Can you just hear that passion? Let me read it with passion. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. It's compassion. The longing that God has for you. God knows everything about you. And as I tell my kids, God wants to tell you, there's nothing, nothing that you can do to make him stop loving you. Right. Nothing that you can do. No one will ever love you like God does. And he wants you and me to learn to love him back. He wants you to listen to him, and he wants to listen to you. He wants to listen to you talk what's interesting to you. He wants to have a friendship. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to have a companionship with you. I want to read you something because I've had people that have been in church all their life and tell me that it was wrong, that it wasn't right, that I said something about I want to be friends with God. I want to read you something. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Amen. Jesus wants to be our friend. I want to be a friend to God. Here it says I can be a friend. I don't call you servant. I call you my friend. I call you my friend. The creator of the universe wants me and you to be friends with him. Isn't that neat? To be his friend. You kidding me? It ain't about ritual. If it finally fell. It ain't about rules. It ain't about relationships. I mean, it is about relationship. It's not about religion. He says, I call you my friend. That's friendship. It's friendship. I call you my friends. Let that sink in, that you were formed for a friendship with God. A friendship. I don't want you to miss that. Don't miss the purpose of your existence. It's why we're doing 2 months of prayer. There's nothing more important in your life than getting in harmony with God and have that relationship that you were created for. A close fellowship with God. Job said that in the prime of his life, God was his best friend. I got to ask you, is God your best friend? Is God your best friend? You got to learn the language. For God to be our best friend, we got to learn how to pray. And to know that he's longing for that. That he's waiting for that. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't walk away from him. Don't walk away. Lots of folks know about God. Not quite as many know God. Get to know him and start today. You can feel his love. You can hear his voice. Jeff and I have been talking about this. You hear God in a whisper, don't you? All throughout the Bible says God whispers his name. Then I hear people say, I've never heard God. You ain't close. I'll just say that as plain as I can get. You got to be close to hear a whisper. You got to be quiet to hear a whisper. You got to be still. He longs for you to be close so he can talk to you. Maybe you need to slow down. Maybe you need to shut up. But you need to be close, I know, to hear a whisper. So how do I get close to God? Two ways. Real quick, if you want to write this down, I'll be done here in almost 30 minutes. You got to desire it. Two ways to get close to God. You got to desire it. And secondly, you got to make time for it. You got to make time for it. That's why I'm really pushing these small groups. I've seen growth in my son in 2 weeks because he's in a small group. 2 weeks. Tells me about new friends he's formed. You got to make time for it. It's the only way you're going to get close to him. So, because if you get far away from God, guess who moved? You did. Psalm 25:14 says this. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. You know what making reverence for him is? They make time for it. You ain't got no time for him, it's because you've made something else more important. They make time for him. I'm going to tell you something. This is what I like. God shares secrets with those who make time for him. He doesn't share it with everybody else. You ain't got no time for him, you don't get to know the secret. You don't get to know the secret. James 4:8 says this. Draw close to God and God will draw close to you. You got to desire it. Yes, you got to desire it. We're going to talk about these next 2 months some of the benefits of being close to God. We're going to talk about a lot of them. But I'm going to give you one here today. I wrote it on my Facebook. If you don't get it, wrote down, but here it is. The closer I am to God, the less stressed I will be and the more blessed I will be. The closer I am to God, the less stressed I will be and the more blessed I will be. Lots of times, I just want you guys to know when you tell me how stressed you are, I know. I know why. You're not that close to God. You got to get closer. You got to make time for him. You got to desire him. Amen? You got to make some changes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for the folks here today, and I pray that they make time for you this week as they form their small groups at work and homes and maybe even old Mac over in Alabama will get in one, form one. I thank you for him being here today. My Lord, I love you. Draw us close. Share some secrets with us. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again, but I want you to think of this verse while we're singing and they're praying. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. Man, is God speaking to you? Are you having an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Are you?